Confidently She, a podcast bringing a fresh, encouraging perspective on what it means to be a woman. And while it's okay to not be okay, I believe there's a way to walk through any stage of life with a confident perspective. One thing that really bothers me about a lot of the voices and advice in the confidence space is that they don't actually give you like tangible steps to build your confidence, or they don't get down deep enough to the actual root of what's starting it. And so then you're just kind of left with this pressure, like added pressure of like, oh, apparently I'm supposed to just love myself exactly the way I am, even though I don't like who I am right now. Cool. Thanks. That was not helpful for me. And so I definitely don't want to be one of those voices that's just like speaking in hypotheticals. So I had this idea. I'm going to share with you exactly what I do, literally exactly what I do when I start feeling down on myself. Because guess what? It still happens. Like, I get these Instagram comments or messages or whatever about like, oh, I just feel like I need to channel my inner Rebecca and like be confident in this situation. And I'm like, that's great. And I love that. I love hearing that you equate confidence with me. And that's pretty cool. But like, I also don't want to be, I don't want you to think that I'm just like this confident person now who never struggles. I do struggle. It's just I don't stay in that rut for very long because I know how to get myself out of it. I know what is true. I know how to manage my thoughts. And just a little sidebar on that, I realize that I am not my thoughts. The things you think about, the things you think, or the things you believe in your mind right now are not necessarily true, and they are not who you are. So I could sit down and think to myself like, oh, you are so gross, like you are so ugly, like, or you're just so bloated and fat right now. And okay, like real talk, I tried to buy new jeans and it was just like a disaster. I tried to get new jeans and every single pair, every single size I tried were like too small for some reason. Like I sized up and those were too small, even though I wear whatever. It was just like, it was a disaster. And I went home and I was just like, wow, that was terrible. That was awful. That was so, so awful. But I know that when it comes to trying on clothes, I am not auditioning for the clothes. The clothes are auditioning for me. Okay? It's not like my body needs to change in order to fit into these certain clothes. The clothes need to change in order for me to purchase them and for me to take them home with me and put them on my body. So it's the clothes that are auditioning, not me. That realization in and of itself that I had a few years ago is something that I have taken with me into every dressing room. Every time I order something online and get it in the mail, I say to myself, these clothes are auditioning for your body. You get to decide if you want to keep them. Your body is not passing or failing some kind of test right now. The clothes are passing or failing. So there's that. But one thing that is very tangible that you can start doing, and the root of a lot of this starts with the idea that femininity and being a woman or being a girl is inherently undesirable. How many times growing up, or even, you know, in your day-to-day life, do people make comments? Do people make comments or use phrases that degrade or devalue women? all the time. Okay. Like, and I think that maybe things are getting a little better, but it's just like, even, you know, the simple phrase like, oh, you do that like a girl. You hear that 1,000 times over the span of 10 years growing up as a girl, and you start to equate feminine things with negative things, or with weak things, or with less than ideal things. And so part of building your confidence as a woman is taking back ownership of what femininity looks like, and what being a girl means, and what being a woman is, and realizing that it is good. Because women wouldn't exist if there was no purpose for us. Right? Why did God create Eve if Adam had everything he needed? Okay? So there's clearly a purpose. There's clearly a design for women. And there are certain things for me that make me feel uniquely feminine. Okay? And so what I want you to do is figure out some things that make you feel excited to be a woman. Feel feminine. Feel free and beautiful and just like lovely and I don't know how to describe it, but it's just it's uniquely feminine. You feel uniquely feminine. And it's different. This is the nice thing, okay? I really don't think that there are objective things that are feminine. And that's where things start to get a little like weird, because some people will say like, oh, wearing makeup is anti-feminist because you're conforming to cultural beauty standards. And it's like, well, maybe, but also not doing something just because the cultural pressure is telling you to do it gives just as much power to that cultural pressure than if you were to do it. So breaking that down into something more, let me use an analogy. If I put a hamburger in front of you and I'm like, you have to eat that hamburger. You have to eat it. I am telling you that you are not a good person if you don't eat that hamburger. And you're sitting there and you're actually kind of hungry. And you're like, well, I mean, oh, all right. Like, I don't think that I am a bad person if I don't eat this hamburger, but I am kind of hungry. So like, I do want to eat something. And I mean, now I actually do kind of want, I'm craving a hamburger, but I don't want to eat it because you're telling me to eat it. So I don't know what to do right now. So you not eating that hamburger just because I'm trying to pressure you to do it is giving me just as much power over you than if you were to eat it just because I was telling you to do it. But here's the thing. Here's the difference between a confident person and an insecure person in this analogy. A confident person would look at me and say, I don't care if you want me to eat this hamburger. I'm hungry. A hamburger sounds okay. So I'm going to take a few bites and see how I feel in a minute. That's what a confident person does. And you can take that same analogy and put it in the context of wearing makeup, getting your hair done, painting your nails, doing anything that makes you feel feminine or that you might think is a feminine quality. You can take that and put that in that example. So for makeup, okay? A confident woman goes, I know that culture and society wants me to look a certain way. But you know what? Sometimes I do want to put on makeup. Sometimes it is fun to wear bright lipstick and to shave my legs and to do my hair all fancy and to wear a cute dress. Sometimes it is fun to do that. And when I feel like doing that, I will. And when I don't, I won't. That is what confidence is. It's realizing that you have the choice. Hey, it's Rebecca. This isn't for everyone, but if you're just like, I'm so done fighting against my body. Like every morning waking up and feeling like I just need to deal with this body again today. And you've tried all the other things. You've done the things that everyone else is telling you that you need to do. If you're just like, this freaking sucks. Like, I shouldn't have to live like this. I don't want to wake up in the morning with these same thoughts. I am so over all of the people telling me to love my body. What does that even mean? I want an actual plan, actual steps. Someone who's done this. Someone who I can be totally vulnerable with and feel safe. Like, they get my struggle because they've been there and they know how to get out of it. They know how to get through it without just shoving it down and pretending like it doesn't matter. I want to invite you into my one-on-one coaching program because that is where you get someone who can see the blind spots that you are completely unaware of. Someone who can repeat your thoughts back to you in a condensed way that makes sense so that you can actually work through them and move forward. If this is something that you're like, oh, that sounds like me, go to RebeccaBiggie.com/coaching. That is how you get started. That is the gateway into what would be private coaching with me one-on-one. It's not for everyone. Not everyone needs a one-on-one body confidence coach. But if you want someone in your corner, if you want that support, if you want to feel like there's somebody on your side to change the way you think when you wake up in the morning, to change how you feel as you're getting dressed, to make normal everyday things like eating and getting dressed and going to work and talking to people and having relationships normal. Because if you think about it, you're hacking your way through the Amazon jungle right now, okay? There's like, everything is in your way. I've created a path. And if you're done hacking away by yourself and you want to just surrender to heal this part of your heart, you know that this is what's been missing, you're invited to walk with me on the path. I only work with a few women every year. To be that person that they can be vulnerable with and share everything that's going on without editing themselves, without censoring it so they don't hurt someone's feelings or whatever. Like, I get everything that you're going through. I've thought all the thoughts that you've had. I've tried all the things that you've tried. So go to RebeccaBiggie.com/coaching and that's how you get started. Okay, let's get back to the episode. You have the choice, you have the freedom, you have the power. And don't let other people influence you to do it or to not do it. That's what it is. Because I think sometimes we get into this idea of like, oh, well, I need to rebel against this cultural beauty standard. And you know what? Sometimes maybe you do. Maybe for a whole year, you're like, I don't want to wear makeup. Screw that. I'm not conforming to this anymore. And maybe you seriously do not want to wear makeup for a whole year. That's fine. That's fine. But the second you are like, you know what? It would be fun to like get all dressed up and wear some makeup. Like if your gut response is that's just making the patriarchy win. No, it's not. The patriarchy is winning if it's controlling what you do or do not do. Right? So, all that to say, I want you to make a list of things that make you feel feminine. Things that you can control, okay? You know what's one thing that makes me feel feminine? When a man takes me out on a date and like being around a really confident, strong, masculine man makes me feel taken care of and safe as a woman, and it's fun, and I like that. But you know what? I can't control that. I can't control if a guy, a man, is going to want to take me out on a date. So that's not on my list, right? So I have a list of things that make me feel feminine. One of the things is painting my nails. That makes me feel feminine. Something is taking a bath or shaving my legs and having smooth skin, using some type of lotion or essential oils on my skin and my body to kind of like pamper myself and really like this state of rest and relaxing. Lighting scented candles, that makes me feel more feminine. Having things clean, honestly, like having a clean, ordered space helps me feel feminine. What else? Sometimes like wearing makeup and wearing bright red lipstick, that makes me feel feminine. Dancing, singing, that makes me feel feminine. So those are a few things on my list. Listening to music, listening to like a symphony type classical music and taking a bath and shaving my legs and doing essential oil stuff and candles. That is like feminine energy. That gives me feminine energy. Okay. Now, I used to not do any of those things. Okay. So this is not some list that I got since birth and like I've just had this the whole time. I think that's another assumption people make, that it's like, oh, well, I don't have a list like that. So what am I supposed to do? Well, figure it out. You can do it. Like if taking a bath doesn't sound feminine to you, I challenge you to try it. Okay. I never used to take baths. I tried it once and I was like, oh, this was actually really amazing. And now every time I'm starting to feel like in this like stressed, stuck, more masculine energy of trying to like control things and whatever, I'm like, you know what? I need to have a feminine night. I need to just embrace my femininity and do a bunch of girl stuff. And so I paint my toenails, I paint my fingernails, I take a bath, I do dry brushing. So I have this body brush, so I will dry brush my skin. And this is another really great way to care for your body. It's unrealistic to have a good relationship with your body if you never spend any time with it. So doing this forces you to look at your body, to see what it is, because you can't love something you don't know. And chances are, the better you know someone, the more vulnerable they are with you, the more you understand them and the more you like them. So the same is true about your body. So spending time, I do dry brushing. It takes like 10 minutes to dry brush my whole body. But you know what? Why are we so in a rush and in a hurry all the time? We were not created to be efficient, like output generators. That humans aren't like meant for that. Machines are meant for that. They're good at that. Humans are not designed for that. Okay. Spend time with your body. It's okay if it takes longer. Okay. So I do the dry brushing. I light candles. I have the bath running. I use like Epsom salts and I have some Aveda essential oils that I put in the bath. It's amazing. I've got this silk bathrobe that I love putting on because that feels feminine. Anything that's like soft or fluffy, I love that. And then as I slow everything down, I have my Spotify playlist of instrumental music. Some of it is like piano, some of it is like violin. It's amazing. And then I take a bath and I sit there and I slowly like lower myself into the bath. I'm mindful of how the water feels as it goes over every single inch of my body, as it goes over my feet and then my legs and then my knees, and as it goes and then my arms go under the water, and like just pay attention to your body. Stop going on autopilot. Pay attention to every single element of what's happening to your body. As your first step goes into the bath, pay attention to how that feels. Slowly lower yourself into the tub. And every time I do that, when my lower back, like my tailbone, is resting on the bottom of the tub and I'm like rolling back into the tub, my back cracks and it's like, ah, it's the best. It's like this best feeling that's just like, okay, yes, I have arrived at like full tranquility in this bath. It's just like amazing. It happens every single time and it's great and I love it. And just like pay attention to things like that about your body. That's where I was carrying some stress, apparently. So then you're in the bath, you're listening to whatever music, you got your candles going, and just be at rest. I think that is a really big feminine characteristic that I fought for so long, and I'm still struggling with fighting it, honestly, because it's hard as a high-performing, high-achieving, go-getter type person. Resting feels like being lazy. Doesn't resting feel like laziness sometimes? You know what? I realized God rested after he created the entire universe, right? On the seventh day, he rested. It wasn't because he was tired. Like, I guarantee you, it wasn't because he was tired. It wasn't because he was lazy. He does not get tired. He is not lazy. He rested because it's worth doing. And we are made in his image, so we need rest. And I think that that's a feminine thing. Like, that ability to create places of rest for other people is an amazing quality that I think women have a unique ability to do. But you can only do that when you know how to do it for yourself. You can only truly create a peaceful area of rest for other people when you are at peace in yourself. So this is a way to practice that. Feel at peace. Give your mind a break. If you do meditation, empty your mind as you are there. Feel all of the places in your body as it's touching the bottom of the tub. Feel every pressure point. Connect with your body. Because you are not your body. I think that we believe that because we spend every waking moment in our body, that we think that we like spend time with it and that we know ourselves and that we pay attention to our body. But there's a difference between passive time with someone and active getting to know someone. When I'm riding down the elevator with somebody, yes, I am in the same vicinity as them. We are together in that space, but I don't know anything about them unless I ask, unless we have a conversation, unless we get to know each other. That's the only way. The same thing is true with your body. Like, you, your spirit, is separate from your body. Think about the movie Freaky Friday, okay? If your personality was put into someone else's body, you would still be you. So, it makes sense that you are separate from your body, and you need to get to know your body a little bit. You need to pay attention to your body. You need to connect with your body. And sometimes even just doing that opens up a whole floodgate of compassion and patience for your body and the way it looks, the way you think it should look. Having compassion and knowing your body helps you have a lot more realistic expectations of what it should be and what it is. But getting back to the list of things that make you feel feminine, realizing that these are good things. These are good things. These are things that are worth spending time doing. Because when you've been told or you've heard passively that women are less than men, that, you know, if you do something like a girl, that means you're doing it wrong or you're doing it bad or you're doing it worse than it could be done. Like, when you grow up hearing that and when you're conditioned to believe that, you need to actively do work to believe that women are good. that being feminine is not only okay, but it's a good thing and it has a purpose. That's why I have a sign in my bathroom. I have one of those little letterboard signs. It says, "Proud femininity, bold vulnerability." It is okay to be proud of the things that make you feminine. It is okay to be proud of feeling feminine and experimenting with your femininity. If those types of things that I listed sound like the worst things in the world to you, make your own list. Figure it out for yourself. I'm not saying that this is what femininity looks like. I'm saying this is what femininity looks like for me. But God created us all differently. This is how femininity feels for me. I encourage you to try it and see what comes up for you. Do you feel a lot of resistance around even the idea of, like, painting your nails pink? Why? It might be because you've been conditioned to believe that things that are pink are dumb. Or that you're too good for, or too educated to be a simple feminine woman. Why can't you be both? I'm both. I'm educated. I'm strong and independent, but I'm also, like, very feminine. And those things are not in contrast with each other. They're not. You can be both. This is the part of reclaiming what it means to be feminine, what it looks like to be a feminine woman. If there's a lot of resistance around that for you, I challenge you to go a little bit deeper with that. Why? Who said that? Who said that things that are pink are dumb? Your older brother when you were 12? Who cares? He doesn't get to decide. Maybe you really don't like things that are pink. That's fine. I'm not saying you have to, but I'm saying why. What about it do you like or not like? You have the freedom to experiment and figure that out for yourself. And then once you have that list and you kind of know, okay, these are the things I like. These are the things that make me feel feminine. When you start getting in this weird rut of masculine energy, of trying to take control of things, of feeling like you aren't good enough, feeling insecure, go back to your femininity list and do a feminine night for yourself. That's what I do. That's what helps me. If you have no idea where to even begin, go to RebeccaBiggie.com/coaching and get started with the expectation audit. This goes through all of the things that you expect from yourself, from your body, from being feminine, like what your expectations are of yourself. And then breaks down where all of that is coming from. It gives you some direction. It gives you some answers by working through all of the expectations you currently have around yourself. And then what you do when you're done with that, like, pre-work part of it is you record either a video of yourself, and I'm the only one who sees this, record a quick video of yourself, or you could do an audio if that's easier for you, just kind of like walking through what you learned. Be like, oh, this is what came up, or this is my answer for this, and this is my answer for that. You send all of that to me, I listen to it, and then I give you, like, a recommendation, and, like, I point out all the things I see based off of what your answers were, how you talked about your answers says a lot, too, about who you are and kind of, like, where you're at. And so that starts that process of, like, what are we dealing with here? What is the starting point? And if you're interested in private coaching, that's how that part of it starts. So you do the expectation audit. That's how all of my private clients come through first, is through one of those audits to give us a starting point. And then we figure out, okay, what are your goals? And how would working together for 4 months get you to a place where you feel like you can do this on your own, where you are living in confidence, practicing confidence, and building your own flavor of femininity? Because femininity is not a cut and dry, like, this is what it looks like. No, I think that that's what so much of the harm comes from, is that for so long we were told femininity is tight dresses, high heels, red lipstick, blown out hair. This is femininity. And we were like, gosh, I don't want to do that all the time. And if I'm not that, does that mean that I'm not feminine? And culture was like, yes. And we're like, well, no, I don't want that. And so then we had this whole like revolt against femininity. But really what that was a revolt against needing to be that all the time. Femininity is this like really cool, creative relationship with getting to decide what beauty looks like for you that day. And if you want someone to figure that out with you, if you want someone to help, if you want someone to heal your relationship with femininity, with your body, with your confidence, go and do that expectation audit, and then we'll figure out if working together is a good fit. But for now, this is all the time that I have for this episode. I am really pumped that you listened. If you haven't left a rating or review on iTunes, please go do that. That would be amazing. And I will see you back here next week for another episode of Confidently She.